Well, if you would, take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In living life, as we all do, we have a multiplicity of things that we're interested in or have a concern in. And when I use the term concern, I'm referring to basically a concern is more of an earnest interest. You may have an interest in something, but it's not very deep or intense. But if you have a concern for something, there's a little more intensity to it or earnestness to it. And so we all have interests in life and concerns in life, and they may vary depending on who we are and what we're doing or what we're not doing. Like sometimes retired people seem their interest and concern changes drastically. They're not concerned about certain things that they used to be. Or kids have a different interest and concern than adults. Parents have a different interest and concern than perhaps single people. But we all have interests and concerns. A lot of us are interested in what we look like. What our hair looks like, for instance. Sam and Cree and I really don't care what our hair looks like. Partly because it doesn't matter. It's not going to do what we would want it to do anyway. So we just get to a point we don't care. But I've never been in a house that doesn't have a mirror in it. So somebody's got an interest in looking at what they look like. You know, well, it doesn't mean it's bad. But we have an interest in how our health is. We have an interest in perhaps having enough money to take care of what we need financially. Have an interest in the people that we love, people that we don't care about. But I mean, we have interest in things. And as long as fear and worry doesn't get involved, those interests really don't mean that it's a bad thing. Especially if you have a real deep concern about it. And I got to thinking about, what about Jesus Christ's interests and concern? What were his interests in life? What were his concerns in life? So we're going to look at a couple things. We're not going to look at them all. But we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus Christ was interested in doing and concerned about doing. And we're starting in chapter 2 of Luke. You've all read this verse, I'm sure. Verse 41. This is when he and his family went up to the temple for the Passover, and Jesus didn't go back with them as they were leaving to go back home. And after a day's journey, Joseph and Mary realized, hey, we just lost the Son of God. I don't know what four-letter word that might have slipped out of their mouths, but I'm sure it was something in Aramaic. So they come back, it takes them a few days to find them. 3 days later, they find them, and they find them in the temple. And we pick it up here in verse 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, that's when they said, oh, that's in the text. They turned back again to Jerusalem, asking him, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting, where'd they find him? The arcade? The movie theater? That's where most 12-year-olds would probably go. Hey, that arcade was really cool. I'm going back. They found him in the temple. That tells us something. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, and this is referring to doctors of the law, the Old Testament law, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist or know you not that I must be about my father's business? And the term father's business could literally be translated as the things of my father. He'd been instructed by Joseph and Mary, obviously, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Redeemer. And he had an interest in finding out what the heck that meant. He had a concern about, hey, if I'm a Redeemer, I guess I got to redeem. But what does that mean? So here he's figuring it out and finding out from God's Word what it was to be the Son of God. That gives us quite a clue as to where his interests were. Pretty good. Let's go, while we're in Luke, we're going to go to chapter 4. Now, the things of the Father, he was interested in the things of the Father. Now, the things of the Father was, you know, we know from the Old Testament that he put Adam and Eve in the garden, wanted to bless them. They didn't quite do what they were instructed to do. They lost a lot of stuff. God promises a Redeemer. And God really wants to help people, bless people, love people, heal people. Those are the things of the Father. And he's finding out what it is those things are and how to take care of them, being he's the Redeemer. So chapter 4, verse 16, we see he's kind of got it. He's now about 30 years old, and he's starting his ministry, and let's look what he's still interested in. Chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." And here's what it said. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them," that arcade really was a lot of fun. "He said unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He apparently kept on those interests and those concerns of who he was as the Redeemer, what the things of the Father were that he was to accomplish and he was to live. Because here he's saying, hey, it's coming to pass. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, here's the announcement. Verse 21. "And he began to say unto them," verse 22, "and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" They were a little behind the behind the eight ball there. "And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were very excited." They were filled with wrath. He was saying what the word said. You know, he was letting them know, you're going to tell me this, but it's happened before. Many needs in Israel, and only the unbelievers on the outside got taken care of because of unbelief. Let's go to John chapter 5. Jesus Christ had a concern for the things of his Father. He had an interest in fulfilling the Word of God that the Word said to do. Those are great interests. Chapter 5. Verse 39 gives us another clue about his interests, his concerns. John chapter 5:39. says, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Let's go to John chapter 4. The word of God was a concern of Jesus Christ, an earnest interest, a real desire to know what it said and to live it in his life. Chapter 4, this is, where are we? Chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. Oh, you know what? We're in the wrong book. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 6 first. Sorry. No. I scribbled too much. Oh, sorry. We are in John chapter 4. Let's go back to John chapter 4. First mistake I ever made in my life. John chapter 4, verse 34. This is... he had witnessed to this woman who was at the well, and he had sent previous to that his disciples to go get some food for a meal, and they come back and they, you know, say, here's your food. And he says, I've already got my food. And verse 34, Jesus saith unto him, them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That shows us a little bit about what his interests were, what his concerns were. The meat referring to food, and food is what gives us sustenance. What really kept him going and what really, you know, drove the bus for him was doing the will of God. Isn't that something? What a great concern to have. Nothing wrong with being concerned about what's for lunch. I think I have that often. But a greater food would be the food of God's word. Let's go to John chapter 6. While we're in the neighborhood, John chapter 6, verse 38. You'll see a pattern here. He talks a lot about the will of God and the word of God and the things that he wants to see and do. Verse 38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Those, again, some of these interests and concerns that Jesus Christ had. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4. These are great interests. I mean, we have interest in all kinds of things. And I find it interesting that, you know, some people's interests, like they like birds, and there's just something about birds that they like to watch. And a few years ago, Susan and I and Jeff and Deborah were on this little, we were on a cruise down in the Panama Canal area, and we went on a day trip on this little boat that was supposed to go through like a through the wilderness, and it was, we thought it would be a, you know, you see the interior of the land, and I must have read the description wrong, because the people on the boat, there was, I don't know, 10, 15 people, not that many, and they're all, and the guy is, the tour guy is stopping at the stupidest things. We're going 20 feet and he stops, and he's looking at the trees, and we're what's up there? And all the people are like gasping. And it turns out we went on a bird watching thing. But he wouldn't say anything. He would just stop and kind of point. And what the hell is this thing? And then one guy's got a big camera, and he said, you know, I've made several trips down here, spent thousands of dollars to photograph a couple of these birds. I was like, oh, God. It just... You know, they were sincere, nothing wrong with it, but certainly not an interest that I would have, per se. But, so it's not that any interest you have that might be not popular is wrong, but it is kind of funny, some of them. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And as you read those, the record of all those temptations he got, each time he came back to what the Word of God said concerning it. Again, showing that his interest was every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Oh, that we would be like that. That every word of God that is in here, we have a real sincere interest in being involved with it. That'd be a great day. I mean, we try to do that. But to actually do it, that'd be a great day. Where it happens day after day. Let's go to chapter 15 while we're in the neighborhood here. Chapter 15. And these are all scriptures that we've probably read hundreds of times. And it's just great to see it in light of what, it wasn't just that he quoted it, but he had an interest in it and a great concern for these things and for them coming to pass. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they washed not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him be die to death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He didn't have an interest in the commandments of men. That's for sure. He had an interest in what the scripture said, what his heavenly father had said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. It's tax crunch time. Don is an H&R Block representative. We're not hissing. We still love you. And Rube and Connie had Justin on April 15th. It's all over the place. How intermingled we are. But anyway, here, Jesus Christ is dealing with rendering unto Caesar. Let's see what he says about that. Chapter 23 and verse 17. Boy, I really wrote these down wrong. Chapter 22, sorry. I think, yeah. It's in the wrong spot on my Bible. Okay. Chapter 22, verse 17. Sorry. It says, Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So again, his interest is, hey, what you're supposed to give to God, you give to God. If Caesar's supposed to get a part of that action, okay, so be it. But you should be given to God what's due to God. And again, that was his interest, his concern in living God's word. Let's go to John chapter 18. And as it says in Peter and a couple other places in the Word of God that, you know, Jesus Christ is an example unto us. We should follow his example, walk in his steps as far as what he did with and for God in the context of the scriptures. So it behooves us to take this as an example for living life. John chapter 18, verse 6. It says that as soon as they, as soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he that went back, they went backward. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, well, who are you seeking? Who seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. This is the first artist of the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, you see lots of pictures of him in the garden. This is where it all started. Okay, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, I'm en route to fulfill the plan of redemption, and this is part of it. And if you start using your sword, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Don't try to mess with breaking it up. Shall I not? the cup wherewith my Father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? You know, that was his interest. Perhaps he didn't want to do it as far as going through all those beatings, but that's the direction he was heading, and that was his decision. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Another one concerning the same time period. Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and would be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. So he told Peter, hey, you know, if you start cutting everybody up here, how am I going to drink this cup? And here he's saying, hey, you know, if there's really another plan A that we haven't discussed, you can slip it to me now. But, and he asked three times, but every time with, it's not that I want to do my will, I want to do your will. And if there isn't another way, I'm doing what you put it in your word. But again, showing that was his concern. He wanted to fulfill that which God had set out for him to do. And lastly, we're going to back to Matthew chapter 26. John and I actually have been talking about the scripture a few times in the last few weeks. It's just such a great question and statement. Again, showing where Jesus Christ's heart was concerning God and his word. And again, it's in the garden. Chapter 26, verse 51. And behold, one of them, this is in the garden, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword. We saw that was Peter, the artist, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And here's a great statement. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 12 legions of angels is 72,000, but it's not 72,000, it's more than 72,000. So, whatever that more is. And boom, you know, God showed him, hey, any time you are at a point where you can't go any further, this is what I'll do for you. And Peter's interrupting. And he's saying, look, you know, don't you understand? I can get out of here a lot faster than your sword can ever do. Really. I have that option. I'm fine. Verse 54, but here's this great question. But how then shall the scripture be filled that thus it must be? You know, if I pull out or I let you cut everybody else and kill them here and we run free, then how is the scripture going to be fulfilled? What a concern. What an interest, especially in light of the circumstances. I mean, nobody'd been beat like he'd been beat. Nobody'd been exceeding pressure like he'd been in that garden. And, you know, it's just incredible, immense. And yet he was like, well, if I take the easy way out, then how's this scripture going to be fulfilled? And it all started when he was a little fella, learning and saying, what are the things about my father that I should be, you know, about to do? So it's pretty cool. So many interests. So we have interest in our hair, you know, and other things, which is fine. But our interest also should be, and it is for us, but to continue, what are the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, what God's will is for our lives and what we should do, and that those interests are a concern of ours, and that we, you know, to the end we carry them out. And that's really where the greatness of life is. So it's pretty cool to have that. And as a starting block, we at least know that the Bible is the Word of God, and this is the direction to go, which is really cool. So those are some of the interests and concerns, obviously not the only ones, but things that are obvious in the Gospels about Jesus Christ.